Hi, and welcome to the Good Dog, Happy Baby podcast, where we will help you prepare your dog for the arrival of your child. My name is Mike Wambacher, and I'm a professional dog trainer here in the San Francisco Bay Area. I've been training dogs here professionally for the last 22 years. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, Good Dog, Happy Baby, an in-depth manual on how to prepare your dog for the arrival of your child. I'm joined here by my co-host and friend, Morgan Dix, who's going to help me sort through a lot of the issues you'll be facing in this exciting phase of your life. He's going to interview me, and we're going to lay out a lot of information for you to help you enable your dog to make this transition into siblinghood smooth and easy and free of hiccups. So let's not waste any more time and dive right in.
All right, Mike, welcome to the show. Or this is your show. Welcome to the show. And this is great to kick it off, man.
Well, I'm excited to launch a podcast around this subject. You know, as you know, I've been very passionate about this particular topic for many years. I've been training dogs for 22 years professionally, and about 2 years in, I started to notice the issue of preparing dogs for the arrival of babies, and you know, saw the lack of resources. So I've been, like I said, very much advocating for more attention to this area for a very long time.
When we started working together, you had already published your best-selling book, Good Dog, Happy Baby, and we worked together on creating your first course, also the same name, Good Dog, Happy Baby, and that's something people can check out, and I recommend they check out because it's a great course. The whole idea of this podcast is really to milk you for all your knowledge. So people out there who are expecting a baby or who have a toddler and maybe struggling with this issue can get regular kind of unfiltered expertise from you. So I'd love to just start with a teeny bit of context and then ask you to expand on it. So as you've said, dog ownership has skyrocketed in the past 30 years. And at the same time, young couples, millennials, they're increasingly choosing to delay parenthood into their late 20s, 30s, and even 40s, like me. I'm 43, just had my first kid. And at the intersection of these trends, dogs have really found a new social role. They're really becoming the surrogate child for these people in lieu of having a child earlier. So having poured years of love and affection into their pets, this has been your observation as a dog trainer and what you've shared in the book and in the course. Too little thought is really given to how that quote-unquote fur baby, the dog, will take to the sudden arrival of a human baby. So you've written a book on the topic. You've developed a course. So before we jump into specific questions about actually how to prepare your dog for your baby, can you just give everyone some high-level context on why it's so important to prepare your dog for your baby? Like, basically, I'm sure for a lot of people, and like me initially, is like, what's the big deal?
Well, I mean, the big deal, obviously, is that, just to put it real simple, the dog will often feel either jealous or just displaced or just not be able to interpret or understand how to relate to this little one that they definitely do not see as an adult human or even a younger human. They don't even see them as human necessarily. They don't know what little babies are. And, you know, they're having their household intruded upon. And obviously the number one issue is my dog going to bite my kid at some point, you know? And, A lot of people make the mistake. They just assume, well, no, he's a 6-year-old golden retriever. He's just sweet as could be. He loves everybody. He would never. Right. And this is like the number one, I think, mistake people make is to presume that the dog would never. And, you ask for high level context. So I usually like to rattle off these statistics, which you've heard me mention many times.
Yeah.
But they're important, and I'm not making these up to sell books. I mean, anybody can find this information online. A lot of it comes from the Centers for Disease Control over in Atlanta. But basically, I'll just rattle them off. This is for anybody, but especially for people who think my dog would never, you know.
Yeah.
There's something like 4.5 million reported dog bites in the United States every year. The actual number is a lot higher, but those are the ones that get reported. Those are bad enough to get reported. Okay, about 800,000 of those require hospitalization. 30,000 require reconstructive surgery. 80% are on children under 5. 80% of those are on the face and neck. 90% come from the family dog or from a dog that the child was very familiar with. By the time American kids
can do just One sec, Mike. Can you just, those last two statistics, I mean, they're big statistics to take in. Can you just repeat those you were saying? What's the statistic around the family dog?
Well, 90% of the bite, well, first of all, something like 80% of dog bites happen to children under five.
Right.
80% of those are on the face and neck. Mm. 90% come from the family dog or from a dog with whom the child was familiar.
Mm.
Okay, so this isn't random dogs walking down the street attacking children. No, almost never. It's family dogs, and the people didn't see it coming.
Right.
And then the statistic, yeah, the statistics go on that by the age of 12, 50% of American children have been bitten by a dog.
Mm.
And a significant number suffer from symptoms of PTSD. Now, the situation is so severe that
the Centers for Disease Control have labeled that dog bites on children a national epidemic, second in its threat to child welfare only to teen substance abuse. So think about that for a minute.
Wow.
You know, so those are very sobering statistics. And I'm sure that people listening to the podcast right now, I'm going to guess there's a number who are going to say, yeah, you know what, that happened to me when I was a kid, or that happened to my sister,
yeah,
or somebody I know.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And, it, you know, almost always is from people that, oh, I thought, you know, he'd be fine. And I know that because that's what I see, you know, when people call me. The frustrating thing for me is when people call me, you know, that the baby's 3 or 4 months old and now, and that the dog's showing all signs of problems and now they want to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's too late at that point. You know, last year I had to tell 6 people to rehome their dog because, you know, once the baby crosses the 8-month threshold and starts crawling, that's when all the trouble starts, you know.
Right.
You know, that's why I create, you know, the video course that I created specifically addresses that threshold, because it's the number one reason people end up rehoming the dogs is because at the 8-month threshold, when the baby becomes more unpredictable and mobile, they encroach on the dog, and then bad things happen. So,
I mean, you've been dog training for over 20 years. Was there a certain point, like, was this apparent to you like early on, or was this something that you've only kind of grokked like in the later stages of your, you know, your kind of professional arc? What, or has this been an issue for a while?
It's been an issue for a while. I think, like I said, I've been training for about 22 years. About 2 years in, I had a very dramatic client episode where these things really came to the forefront. You know, they were young, early 20s, pregnant, had this crazy little Jack Russell Terrier. And I mean, he really was kind of quite out of control. And I could see right away, oh my God, this is a collision course waiting to happen. So I warned them. Mm-hmm. I said, look, do not indulge your dog in a last hurrah. Get some obedience training in, lay some structure and rules down around the house. And they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And didn't do any of it because, oh, the cute little dog. I mean, basically what the mom did is she, you know, all the maternal impulses that were developing so strongly in her because she was pregnant, but she hadn't had her baby yet. She transferred them all onto the dog. So the dog was sleeping in the bed every night. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, when she started to be on maternity leave, she had all this extra time to take him to the park and do this and do that. And then literally the day the baby came, that all changed. The dog was in the crate. The dog was basically shunted off to the side and completely flipped out. Now, he never bit the kid, but by 3 months, she couldn't handle his antics anymore.
Yeah.
Because he was like, literally every time she would turn to the baby, if it would cry, he would pee on something.
Mm.
And it was just a jealous move. He would do something. He would grab something. He would do something just like a child would to get mom's attention.
Yeah.
You know, to get her attention. And, you know how it is to be a new parent. You're sleep deprived. You're overwhelmed by all your new responsibilities. And after 3 months, she couldn't handle it anymore. And they just got rid of the dog. You know, and that's when I realized, okay, wow, this is a big deal. And also I started to look online to see what resources were available. And other than one little pamphlet that I found on Amazon, there was nothing.
Right.
So that's when I decided to start to try to fill that niche. And that's what I've done.
And obviously there it's an issue because as I said in the beginning, your book's been a bestseller and it's consistently been selling at a very high rate on Amazon for a long time. So there's obviously a big need. It's a big issue.
Yeah, I've known that for a long time. I've always kind of wondered why there isn't more in that little niche. Now you can go online and you'll find a lot of articles by, you know, other places that, you know, little blogs, but they're little articles, you know, they're 1 or 2 page articles, tips. but there's nothing really comprehensive and step by step.
Yeah.
That you know gives you a meaningful program and a you know and an easy to access. You know, I mean, my book is small. You know, it's just 120, 30 pages, something like that. But it's very, very. I made it that way on purpose. It would be user friendly, bullet point oriented, and so forth.
Yeah. So, all right, that's great. So instead, I think I'm going to change course here a little bit so we can kind of move towards wrapping up. But instead of going into another question, because I think you've kind of laid out some really nice context for the actual issue here. And big picture, can you just tell everyone, like, what is going to be the arc of this podcast? Like, how do you envision this going? What's the long game and what's the how-to and the step-by-step that we're going to share on the podcast? What are people going to get out of it?
Well, I think hopefully a lot of things. I think one of the things I would like to do, as you know, I wrote a little paper. It's got kind of 22 questions people should ask themselves in relation to their dog, just to kind of get a sense for where they're at. So I think it'd be great to walk through that just to help people how to think about these things, you know, just the questions to ask themselves. Look at your dog, ask yourself this. So they can at least orient to the situation and, you know, at least put it on the table of things to think about. You know, when you're pregnant, there's so many things you're thinking about, you know, the nursery, fixing up the baby's room, all the stuff to buy, baby proofing the house, you know, all the million things. So I want to put the dog in the middle of all those considerations. So those 22 questions are really, I think, helpful. And then after that, I'd like to just go through, you know, maybe even, you know, work my way through the various pieces of content in the book.
Yeah.
You know, in sort of bite-sized chunks so people can drop in here and, you know, listen, cross-reference, you know, use it however they want to. But I just want to put all this information out there in as many ways as possible so more people end up keeping their dogs.
That's great. So everyone, basically, the basic gist, and this is what Mike and I have also talked about, is that in a certain way, through this podcast, you're getting a lot of the information that's in Mike's book, that's in the course. The difference is if you, and you know, and we'll be publishing this weekly, but if you really want to get like the concentrated sort of step-by-step consolidated version of this, you should definitely take the course. If you like what we're talking about, and if you are resonating with Mike's expertise, get the course because it's naturally going to go deeper. It's a video format. Mike's talking to you directly in a very structured way about all the how-to and the step-by-step for preparing your dog, ideally before your baby arrives. So think about that, but we're going to be delivering as much value as we can to you on this podcast and giving you, basically, I'm going to milk Mike for all his authority and information so you guys get the most out of it. So yeah, that's it. Mike, any kind of parting thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, whenever this subject comes up, I have a million things I want to say, but I, you know, I'm aware we're crunched for time and we should probably save it for the next installment. But I just would say that the between the book and the video course in particular helps really directly prepare for that 8-month transition when the baby starts to crawl. And I, you know, it's kind of shot in the style of, you know, like a dog whisperer episode. I mean, basically, it's not me standing up there lecturing. It's me. I hired camera guys to go with me to appointments with people facing these issues. And so we shot a lot of footage in actual people's homes with real babies and real dogs and real parents facing some challenging issues. And primarily, one of the two modules on there is about preparing a dog for childlike handling, which is one of the biggest things. And the reason I decided to shoot that one first is because that's the number one flashpoint that creates tragedies, basically. So, you know, I put a lot of work into it. It took me a year and a half to shoot. And, you know, I hope people take advantage of it and don't end up like, you know, those six people I had to tell to rehome their dogs last year.
All right, great. So, fantastic. We'll be back next week, everybody, with another episode. Get ready. And you can obviously get this podcast on iTunes. You can download it on Mike's website over at gooddoghappybaby.com. Check it out, and we will be dropping this content once a week on the website. You can also sign up in the email list and get it delivered to you every other week, 2 episodes. And if you really like the show, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. That'll really help other parents discover the show. It's the best way to help other parents discover the show. Great. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. It's Morgan here again. And I just wanted to let you know that if you want to check out Mike's
course, the Good Dog, Happy Baby course, or if you want to buy his book, head on over to his website. You can do that over at www.gooddoghappybaby.com. That's gooddoghappybaby.com. And if you sign up for Mike's email list, you get a sweet deal on the course. It lasts only a week, so pick it up while you can. And you can do that at gooddoghappybaby.com by signing up for Mike's email list. All right, that's all I got. See you next time.